Welcome to the CCFR Radio Podcast, your source for news, updates, and stories from the CCFR.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 23 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Rod Yeltaka. Thanks for joining me again. It's been about 3 weeks since I released a podcast, as I have been incredibly overtasked, primarily with the TV show, but also there's been so much going on in the last couple of weeks that every time I start thinking about the podcast content, I actually get overwhelmed because I don't know how I could ever cover it all. But anyway, I'm going to give it a really good try today. So on the podcast, I'll be joined by my friend Scott Carpenter from International Shooting Supplies for my CCFR update. And I'm also going to share the second part of my interview with emergency medicine physician Adrian Robertson. And this is about politics, gun politics in the emergency room. So hopefully that'll be really interesting. All this and more when we come back. Hey everybody, it's Rod Yeltaka from the Canadian Coalition for Firearm Rights. We get a lot of people in our Facebook group asking about gun laws and regulations, and there's always a wide variety of answers to be had. But what if you had the ability to ask any legal question, whether about guns or not, and have an actual lawyer answer it? You can have a resource like that for $16 a year with the CCFR's legal advice plan. No joke, man, $16 gets you unlimited legal advice over the phone when you need it from a certified, fully qualified lawyer. Don't take a chance by acting on unreliable advice when it comes to the law. You can buy this plan by clicking on the insurance tab at www.firearmrights.ca, and you're helping fund the CCFR at the same time. It's a great way to get solid advice when you need it and join in the fight for your own ability to own and use firearms. Once again, click the insurance tab at firearmrights.ca, and thank you for your support. All right, everybody, we're back. Okay, so interestingly enough, I was thinking back when I was going to do this podcast about the podcast I did last time, and I have some notes to kind of keep me on track. You'd never know it by listening, that's for sure. But last week I talked about all these shootings in Toronto and how everything, you know, all the political action that gets taken when there's all these shootings, and of course all you know, all about the fake news that's floating around that the majority of firearms that were recovered in crimes were domestically sourced and whatnot. And then I start trying to make my notes for this week, and yeah, we're talking about another shooting, except this time it is an attempted multiple victim public shooting. And when I say attempted, it was certainly, but I think this Hussein guy that did the shooting intended to kill a lot more people, which thankfully he didn't. And which is kind of contrary to what a lot of people were thinking, that he had some kind of training or whatnot based on how he was shooting. I'm very thankful that more people didn't die. So our condolences go out to all the families. A horrible thing, but once again, illegal gun sourced through a gang from an unlicensed individual, and look at the political fallout we have. Handgun bans in Toronto, and you can't buy ammunition. You got to go outside the Toronto city limits to buy ammunition, as if it's going to stop this kind of thing. But anyway, before I get too into it, I want to bring in my friend Scott Carpenter from International Shooting Supplies.
Hey, Rod, how's it going?
Good, good. And so Scott's just going to accompany me through this segment and provide a little bit of commentary so that you guys don't, I'm sure I hate listening to myself talk for any length of time, so I can't imagine how excruciating it is for you guys. So Scott's going to try to temper that for me. First thing I wanted to cover real quick, shooting in Toronto, obviously, it couldn't have been avoided by any of our gun laws.
No, not at all.
And what's the reaction from the highly deceptive and predictable?
The anti-gun lobby?
Yeah.
It's the same as it always is. Nothing ever changes.
Yeah, more regulation on those who would hold a license.
Yeah, and now, except this time, we have a federal government that's trying to deflect by punishing all of us for something that we didn't do. Yeah. They seem to be more on board than usual with the anti-gun lobby's demands at this stage.
So. And not letting a good tragedy go to waste. They jumped on it right away with a non-solution. And, there's just the usual fare.
Yeah. Very few voices of reason in the wilderness, it seems.
So one thing I would like to bring up is the CCFR. Is the CCFR there was a story in the media, and I didn't get it prepared here, but some of you may have seen it. And I think if you're in our Facebook group, certainly we highlighted it, is that there was a reference made in the media of a new threat to, you know, further gun control. And it is a new and far more polished gun lobby. And of course, we know exactly who they're talking about. They're certainly not talking about anybody else but the CCFR, because we are the media savvy group.
And, well, and you're new.
Yeah. And we're a public relations organization, and it's working. They're certainly sitting up and taking notice. And as a result, the CCFR did around 12 interviews in the last week.
That's a lot of interviews.
It is a lot. And, you know, which did you, I told you about the one interview where I kind of got a little bit angry at the end.
No. You may have, but I may have forgotten. So
actually, it's a funny story. I didn't plan to talk about this, but some people in our Facebook group saw that interview. I'm sure a lot of people outside of the group obviously not saw but heard it. And what happened was I was doing good, but that was the fourth interview that I had done, and I was getting a little bit frazzled. And it was there's something where you could get onto the radio station's website, and you had some text ability where you could text a question or a comment.
Right.
And so the interviewer was, I think it was Ryan Jesperson, I think is who his show, and in Edmonton, if memory serves. And he goes, yeah, I've got a question. You know, most of the questions or comments were great. Mm-hmm. And then I got a question from Cody, and Cody said, you know, why would any average citizen in Canada need a handgun? And I guess I was just a little bit, you know, I only had one nerve and he got on it.
Right.
And I think I went off a little bit, which is uncharacteristic. I think it happens so infrequently that people kind of enjoy it. But I apologized to everybody because I try to keep my head on. Mm-hmm. And I think I ended that comment with, you know, if Cody would like to live in a country where the government determines what you need and they'll dictate to you what your needs are and act accordingly, then maybe North Korea would be a great place that he would
And at the rate North Korea is going, it might not be a great example here in the not too distant future. But, you know, this is the same question that I've been asking these people for years on a personal level, is how much of our lives do you think that the government should control? You know, be careful what you ask for. You just might get it.
Well, more government is not the answer to every question.
No, it's not. It's not.
You know, and it goes from you know, kind of a personal rights, gun rights argument, even just to general rights. But, you know, these guys are just, yeah, and here's the thing that crossed my mind, though. I felt a little bit bad after. I thought, well, what if Cody was just asking because he wanted to know how to answer that question?
Well, you know, context, and without it's really hard to know. You just got the question, it's all you got. Don't beat yourself up too much.
It is, right? And I'm like, you know, geez, maybe I should answer that one. But one of the answers that I did come up with, I think this is what I railed at him, was, you know, alcohol has absolutely no justification in our society. It causes 100 times at least the damage per year that guns causes.
Yes.
And nobody's justifying that.
Well, this is actually a deep philosophical discussion that we won't get into because this is not the forum for it. But this is the problem with defining other people's needs in general, right? Most of what we need is very, very simple. If you want to talk about needs, you need food, some shelter, and a bit of clothing on your back. Aside from that, pretty much everything else is a want in our society. So you really want to be careful when you start trying to define what other people should need in their lives.
Well, and that's part of it, right? What other people need. And that's why that argument, I mean, I'll admit it. You know, I kind of get triggered. That's one thing that actually triggers me.
It's a special like, snowflake.
Yeah, exactly. And I almost had to go to my safe space, but
your gun room.
Yeah. Nobody can hurt me in here.
No. Close the door.
Yeah, and I mean that. Nobody can hurt me in there.
Yeah.
So it's just that one actually does trigger me because it's all about authoritarianism. It's I want to determine what you need.
Yes.
And you know, the difference, and I've said this before, right? But the difference between our argument is we're saying we want to just be left alone. That's what we're arguing for. And everybody else is arguing for, I want to do something to you.
Well, the world can be divided in pretty neatly into two types of people. The type of people who want to control other people and the type of people who just want to be left alone and don't want to control other people.
Yeah.
That's where we're at, unfortunately, is in the Western world in general. We're down to those two people duking it out. So
yeah, it drives me crazy. And yeah. I'm not telling you that you have to buy a gun, but everybody else is telling me that I can own one, and it just drives me nuts.
Yep.
Okay, you know what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna stop the segment. We're only gonna do one segment, but we got lots of good stuff to talk about, and I don't want to make this like 20 minutes straight. So we're gonna stop for a quick break, and we'll be right back after this with Scott Carpenter.
Over the past 25 years, tens of thousands of Canadians have had their firearms taken by no fault of their own through arbitrary reclassifications, paperwork errors, or senseless prohibitions. The government's perfect vision of Canada does not include you or your firearms. Let Canada's politicians and bureaucrats know they do not have your consent. Stand up for your own ability to own and use firearms by joining the CCFR right now at www.firearmrights.ca.
All right, we're back. You know what? I've got a bunch of other stuff I want to cover. So, I mean, I could talk philosophical stuff with Scott all day. In fact, we do at times. So the next thing I wanted to get to was the handgun ban. So, of course, when tragedy strikes, these people will waste no time in trying to do a couple of things. I think number one, they escape their obligation to solve the true problem, which is violent behavior.
That's right.
And number two, they get to continue the assault on law-abiding gun owners, precisely the people they don't want having guns.
Right. Well, they're deflecting away from the real issues at hand. They don't want to deal with them. And one of the big hot topic issues these days is our borders. And that's certainly one issue that people are trying to avoid at any cost, especially if you're on the liberal side of the political spectrum. So yeah, this is a good way to just avoid dealing with the problem in general. So, and of course, to make us suffer in the meantime, because why not? Right.
Anyways, the handgun ban is a joke. Of course, Mayor Tory calls for that. The city council of, you know, it's the council of probably the most insane people I've seen in politics.
Yeah, the one that went from 47 councillors down to 25 here this week.
Yeah.
I call that poetic justice.
I think it should have gone twice. It should be like five people sitting there.
Yeah.
they had to do some kind of psychological test to make sure they're of sound mind, and then those should have been the only people left. But I don't know what the process there was.
Yeah.
But anyway, now you got to drive, you know, an hour and 15 minutes in rush hour traffic to get your ammunition and your firearms. And that should stem the tide of violent behavior. Good job, everybody. No more gang.
Well done,
violence.
Everyone.
Yeah, exactly. Well, what a joke. Yeah. Anyway, moving on. I wanted to give a shout out to Brian Lilly for writing the story about the actual fake news that is the justification for Bill C-71 and the justification for the handgun ban, which was actually perpetuated by the media whole cloth without doing 15 minutes of research, which is disgusting in itself. Expose that Brian Lilly did was predicated on the work, or is on the back of the work of Dennis Young, researcher, ex-Conservative Party staffer, ex-RCMP officer, who, you know, filed ATIPs and was absolutely relentless and just kept on working, and finally got the information to show where this information about domestically sourced firearms came from, which is now completely untrue, but yet the media is perpetuating it today.
Yep. And yeah, before we go any further, if Dennis is listening, thank you, Dennis, for the work you do. It's invaluable to the firearms community. And, you know, we talked about this before, Rod. You know, the sad part about these fake talking points that are based on statistics that are pulled out of context is it only takes one individual or one organization with some degree of credibility to espouse them, and the next thing you know, they're being passed around like they're facts, and they spread like wildfire. And people, of course, are busy, and they don't have the time to go back and look at the context themselves or do the research, and so they accept it. And the people who start this stuff, they need to have their head examined, and they should be ashamed of themselves. So
yeah, the media, their job is to be the ones that are filing ATIPs and
that's right,
and verifying and finding the facts. And I've never, as long as I've been alive, I've not seen it any worse, the state of journalism in this country. And then at the same time, they're pushing back like crazy. I remember Peter Mansbridge got some self-congratulatory award from all of his peers.
Yeah.
And I actually had done a podcast where I stuck in his comments, and it was a platform for him to stand up and say that truth is under attack in this country. And I it's a family friendly podcast. I just can't even express what I really feel about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just the narcissistic dishonesty.
Yeah.
You know, I can fall out of the chair right now.
It's crazy. Sometimes people attack what they're guilty of themselves.
Oh my God.
In fact, it seems to be a bit of a virus these days, especially in the media. But anyways, that's another podcast all in itself.
The least truthful.
Yeah.
Talking about how truth is under attack. Just disgusting.
Yeah.
Let's sharpen it, make it a little bit more positive. I've been in the trenches recently. Some of you might have seen that. I've been on Twitter fighting with a few people, trying to get them to trying to educate them and get them to think about things in a critical
working on
manner.
Your blood pressure, obviously.
Yeah. I don't know why I do it to myself, but if you can find me, I think my Twitter handle is @CivilAdvantage1. I do have a Rod Geltacka Twitter handle, but I never use it. @CivilAdvantage1. So if you're on Twitter, please follow me and back me up when I'm trying to talk to these knuckleheads. I could definitely use it. And you probably see me engaging a little bit more on Facebook. I'm trying to get on social media a little bit more. I've been just too busy to do it. So you see me, hop on as well. Also, I will mention, since I've got Scott here, that we did a reality show segment at International Shooting Supplies in Surrey at his shop for Canada Downrange. So I think it turned out okay.
Yeah, we had a great time with that. That was actually a lot of fun. And boy, did we ever have a turnout of really good, solid supporters for the CCFR. At that event, it was really good to see.
Yeah. I'm really proud of the type of people that that I find are CCFR supporters. You know, people that would take the time to come down and meet me and get a handshake and talk and just stay and voice their concerns and stuff. And I just when I meet CCFR people, I'm not going to say surprised, right? But I'm always just really proud of these people, and I'm really honored to represent them.
We had lots of guys come in and ask, you know, what can we do other than just donate money.
Yeah.
And that's a great thing to hear. You know, it means that people are engaged and they understand what's going on and they want to help.
Speaking of which, that's an excellent segue. So I'm going to grab that right now, which is the CCFR is not standing by idly and doing nothing while these people in Ottawa and in Ontario, you know, act like complete maniacs. So what's coming out, just so you guys know, what's coming out is 9 more of those 1-minute political videos that we were pushing around on social media. I've recorded all of them. I got the test one back today, which I approved. And so I should have all 9 of them in a week or so. We're going to be trickling those out over the next 2 months. Relentlessly. And also we are engaging in the meme war of 2018. We've got, I think, 12 or 14 memes that are being produced, and we're going to be pushing those around. We're going to be sponsoring all this stuff. So what I need from you, the foot soldiers of this conflict, is to, when you see one of our memes or you see one of our videos, please share it as far and wide as many times as you can. Tell your friends to share it. We really need to push this stuff around to get the maximum reach. We're going to sponsor reach as well. Like we're going to, you know, there'll be sponsored ads, but we really need you to do that work and to be there to comment on this stuff when you see it and to engage in the debate. So please do that. That's definitely something you can do, as well as of course, becoming a Patreon supporter of the CCFR. That's a big deal. If you can afford a monthly gift of whatever, $5, $10, more is better, obviously, but give what you can afford to give and what you feel good about giving, and we'll keep representing you. So I may have mentioned in the last podcast that we're putting a new program together where we're going to have a Facebook group where everyone that is a $20 per month or more Patreon supporter, you'll be put into a special group of those supporters, and I will make myself available, and so will Tracy Wilson, half an hour a month to get in there and do a Facebook Live with you guys, and you can ask us questions and comments and actually have access to the leadership of the CCFR. So make sure you do that, and probably within the next couple of weeks we'll look through, see who is donating $20 or more per month, and we will form that group, and you will be notified that you're in there. So if you're in that group, I really appreciate it. If not, jump on in. One more thing I would mention is that Rachel Harder's e-petition, which is E1608, that was initiated by Ryan Slingerland, a fella from young man from Coalhurst, Alberta, is now closed, and that petition garnered 86,612 signatures.
Wow, that's a big number. Second biggest in
second largest in
e-petition
history in Canada. Yeah,
that's impressive. Good for you guys. Congratulations and thank you.
I would have wanted that to be actually a higher number, and a couple of really great CCFR supporters and myself, we were kind of working on a plan to get that higher, but I just wasn't able to follow through flat out. It's my fault completely. I just couldn't find enough time to organize it and enough hours in the day to execute it. So I wish I could have contributed more of that to myself, and thanks to those who, you know who you are, that try to help us do a little project to push that number higher. I just was not able to follow through. So I apologize for that, but we just got to keep on going. So, but a huge effort from Rachel. She's been a great supporter too. And good job, Ryan. I'm hoping to have Ryan on the podcast in the next episode. So Ryan can look forward to that if he's willing. And I think I've covered everything. So as a supporter, make sure that you share all that stuff and you engage in the social media war. And that's something that you can do that doesn't cost any money, just takes your time. Other than that, any more comments, Scott?
Yeah, just exactly what you just said, Rod. Get on the internet right now. We need you on Twitter. We need you on Facebook. It's not easy because we know that conservative voices are often, you know, muffled a little bit on these platforms, but we still need you there. We need your voices.
Absolutely. I appreciate you providing a little commentary so I'm not sitting here lonely.
Anytime, man.
Awesome.
Anytime.
All right, we'll be right back.
Hunters and sports shooters have a lot more in common than they think. Politicians and bureaucrats will never stop pushing toward their vision of Canada where only the police and the military have firearms. All gun owners need to stand together. An attack on one is an attack on us all. Let these people know they do not have your consent. Stand up for your own ability to own and use firearms. Donate now or become a member of the CCFR at www.firearmrights.ca.
Okay, so on the Skype, I have Dr. Adrian Robertson, who's been kind enough to talk to me again. We did an interview, another one as well, that either you've heard already or that you will hear. But I want to talk today about how Adrian and I met, which was quite interesting, which was at the Precision Rifle Match for the BC Rifle Association over at General Volk's Range. So how's it going, Adrian?
I'm doing very well, Rod. How are you?
I'm squeaking by. Thanks for asking. So first of all, so I got kind of a bit of an agenda here, but first of all, I was wondering, Adrian, if you could tell people kind of who you are and what you do for a living.
Sure. So I am a physician. I'm specialized in emergency medicine and critical care, and I have a mixed practice that's primarily critical care, air ambulance, organ donation, and a little bit of intravenous food.
Okay. And so you're an emergency doctor, basically.
Well, I'm more an ICU doctor than an emergency physician, but my base specialty is emergency medicine. You're correct.
Okay, cool. So we met at the Precision Rifle event out at Volk's Range, as I mentioned, and that's a sniper-ish match. I know we're trying to be careful with our language, but you know a lot of the events are kind of modeled that way. Why? Because it's really challenging and fun, and you know, we met and we started talking. You told me what you did for a living, and I thought it was kind of interesting. I mean, in my daily life, I have to explain to people what I do for fun and what I do for a living at some level too, and whatnot. And I thought, what's been your experience talking to people in your community about what you do for fun and what your hobby is?
So I've had a lot of fun actually with talking about what I do for fun, which is shooting. So I'm involved in F class, of which I have the privilege of being on the Canadian team. I shoot service conditions, which involves both pistol, carbine, the AR-15, and precision rifle, which is very much like a sniper match. I have the wonderful opportunity to actually compete with members of law enforcement and members of the military. Which is an age-old construct and has been enshrined in Canada for over 150 years, that members of the civilian population and members of the military compete together to hone their skills. which is part of keeping the military sharp, passing on marksmanship skills and training, and keeping them ready. It also happens to be a tremendous amount of enjoyment and fun for someone like myself. So when I meet people, especially in my work atmosphere, that ask me what I do. At first, people are quite shocked that I have this interest, because they meet very few people that have an interest like this. Very often have an idea of what kind of person is into firearms, and very often it's a caricature idea of what a firearms owner looks like, and tends to not be very flattering. I've had some people say, "I think you're too smart to be doing that," or, "You know, how did you get into that?" and be very, very puzzled by the whole process. One of my sort of biggest joys is that as people start to interpret the idea of who I am as this physician that's caring about patients and who's sometimes teaching the people around me, as I work in a teaching institution, when they try and square that circle with the fact that I also participate in firearm sports, both at the national and international stage, and that I'm actually shooting alongside the military, and in particular shooting the AR-15 or shooting in sniper-like matches. Facebook has become such a medium for us to share our experiences. I'm not shy about what I do, and I have a great many friends who I think would very readily admit that they are anti-firearms and would like to see firearms not being available in Canada to anyone, who become my friends on Facebook and have to be exposed to all these ideas that come around in our community. One of the things I love to say and love to post is how many of us got together, how many people were running around with whatever the firearm is, how many rounds were fired, very often in the tens of thousands, and that no one was hurt. And this slowly ekes its way into my colleagues' brains, and they start to realize that, hey, wait a minute, nobody seems to be getting hurt. Occasionally, someone will ask me about insurance. Do you have insurance? How much does insurance cost? That sort of thing. And I think that one of the most fun things about firearm sports is that our insurance costs the least out of almost any sport. We are far safer than, say, soccer or hockey or football or volleyball. The number of injuries that happen in organized firearm sports are almost zero, and our insurance rates coincide with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, for the CCFR, $40 a year gets you $5 million of insurance. That's not a plug, because you can get that insurance all over the place. But, I mean, $5 million, my life insurance isn't anywhere near that much, and it's considerably more expensive than that. Have you had anybody not want to be friends with you because of what you do?
You know, luckily not. I'm quite happy to have people have their opinions, and most of my friends are quite happy to allow me to have my opinions and us still to be friends. I've definitely had some interesting reactions before people knew what I did. Treating somebody that was a gunshot victim, and me mentioning something about firearms, and then them just like stating their position. And one very learned, very wonderful physician that I was training blurt out that she thought that no one should own firearms, and if they did, they should all be stored in depots where we can only access them during daytime to go and get them and go directly to the range and then come back and deposit them. And she had incredibly strong opinions without any education whatsoever. And then when she found out that I was an active competitive shooter, she then had lots of questions, and it's been quite fun to watch her over the years very much soften and very much sort of become more respectful of law-abiding gun owners and start recognizing that it's the illicit use of firearms, just like the illicit use of many things that are the problem in our society, and you know, wants to see the factors that lead to illicit gun use be removed, as opposed to an idea where guns are the problem. And if we magically got rid of all guns, the violence would stop.
Well, isn't that interesting? And that's such a familiar story for, I think, for a lot of people. It's just a matter of having a conversation, just a little bit of education. And even from highly educated people, this is a very, very common phenomenon. And one of the reasons, I guess, why the media is so instrumental in making sure that firearm owners and firearms are continually vilified, because that force even fools the smartest of us. So have you had anybody that you've converted, on the other hand?
So I'm not sure that I've had too many people converted from inside medicine. I not infrequently get requests to go shooting. Very often it's on somebody's bucket list to try it or something like that. I had the experience of taking one friend who happened to be a pediatrician, and a very good one, out, and we had a wonderful day shooting. And then at the end of the day, as we sort of drove back, he sort of lectured me on firearm storage, and that all physicians should be, pushing parents to get firearms out of the house to protect their children from firearm injury. I was unsure where that was going to go. But since then, I've had multiple requests from him to go shooting again. So I don't think I can claim as a convert yet, but from someone who was interested enough to try it, but steadfastly against it in a political, professional manner, you know, again, seems interested in continuing to try it.
Well, that's awesome. That's awesome. And I will mention before we wrap it up that you are a member of the CCFR. So thank you very much for that.
My pleasure.
Did you want to comment at all why you felt that the CCFR was a good match for you, given your professional status and everything else?
So I very, very much wish that we had a single voice in Canada, more or less. I think there's some health in having several organizations. When it came down to where am I going to put my money, I took a look at what was out there, and you know, felt that the organization that most represented my voice, that was being effective in the modern media approach, by using a diversity of media, was the CCFR. I'm very, very happy. I've been a member for a few years now, and very, very happy to have joined, and very happy to watch the organization grow. If anything, I see you guys getting stronger. I recently saw how much political attraction you got from the minister of from Minister Goodale. So I'm very happy with what you guys are doing, and we're just very, you know, well, I'm happy to continue supporting you, and would very much like to encourage you guys to keep doing what you're doing.
Well, I appreciate that, and I appreciate your support. Thank you, Adrian. So that's about it. So I appreciate these stories that you had to tell. I think people will find them interesting. So thanks again, and hopefully we'll have you on the show again.
Thank you very much, Rod.
Thanks. That will do it for episode 23 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. In my parting comments today, I did want to remind you about what you can do to help in this fight. And those things are share the videos, the political videos that are coming out. Share them on Twitter. Share them on Facebook. just push them around as much as you possibly can when they get released, which is should start at the end of this week, if not early next week. Share the memes that we're producing and engage in a little bit of discussion. Like, these are the things that you can do to help, other than obviously support the CCFR. But the idea is that a large number of people do just a little bit, and that's how we create the perception of a consensus, right? That's how we push the true narrative based on facts, and that's how that's done. So doing this is just as important as the work that the CCFR is doing directly. Okay, I'm not exaggerating, so please decide how much time you can put in per week. Let's say you're going to put in 40 minutes a week or whatever it is you can do, and just go out there and just engage in a little bit of discussion and do the simple act of just, when you see one of our videos or our memes, share it everywhere as much as you can, as much as you possibly can. Okay. Now also, please become a member if you're not a member. Donate if you could, or even better, become a Patreon supporter. So we're running a little thing. For $20 a month, you'll get access to Tracy Wilson and myself once per month in the Patreon supporter Facebook group. And meaning we're going to do a Facebook Live, and you can ask us questions, and we'll chat, and you can get the inside track on what's going on at the CCFR, at least once a month. So that's it for this episode. Thanks for all your support, everyone. Keep up the fight, no surrender, and we will see you next time.
This is another episode of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Remember, if you don't stand up for your own ability to own and use firearms, who will? Join the CCFR or donate right now at www.firearmrights.ca.